O Lord, open our lips, and our mouths will declare your praise. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. The scripture for today is Jeremiah 31, verses 31 through 34. Let's prepare our hearts to hear from God's word as we listen to Promises by Aaron Moses, Dante Bow, Joe L. Barnes, Kayla Alvarado, Lemuel Marin, and Philip Carrington Gaines, recorded here by The Worship Project. This popular worship anthem finds energy in the rolling, rocking duple meter and quickly consecutive text setting where the words tumble easily one after the other. The steady tempo and consistent rhythmic drive underscore the themes of God's faithfulness.
Time again, you've proven you'll do just what you said. Though the storms may come and the winds may blow, I remain steadfast and let my heart learn. When you speak a word, it will come to pass. Great is your faithfulness to me.
Jeremiah 31, verses 31 through 34. Look, the days are coming. This is the Lord's declaration. When I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, this one will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors on the day I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant that they broke, even though I am their master, the Lord's declaration. Instead, this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, the Lord's declaration. I will put my teaching within them and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will one teach his neighbor or his brother, saying, "Know the Lord," for they will all know me, from the least to the greatest of them. This is the Lord's declaration, for I will forgive their iniquity and never again remember their sin. I had a friend in my doctoral program whose name was Jerry, and Jerry is an Orthodox priest. And on the first day of class, we all went around and introduced ourselves. When it was Jerry's turn, he introduced himself with a little joke. He asked, "How many Orthodox priests does it take to change a light bulb?" To which we're all supposed to ask, "How many?" And he answered, "Change?" Now, he was making a joke about his own tradition, but it's not all that uncommon for human beings in general to be resistant to change. Once we've become familiar with something, acclimated to it, we get comfortable. We don't want to deal with change. At times, we resist change even when it's dangerous. The writer Alan Deutschman, in his book Change or Die, points to several studies which found that after being diagnosed with a life-threatening heart disease, on average, only 10% of people were willing to make the changes necessary to prolong their lives. This means that 90% of people weren't. This resistance to a new way of doing things is something that we should be mindful of when we hear in these verses that God is doing a new thing. In verse 31, he declares, "Look, the days are coming, this is the Lord's declaration, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." So what is this new thing that God is up to, and is it really better? Well, this new covenant comes to fruition in Jesus, as we see the writer of Hebrews go to great lengths to explain. And what does this new covenant prescribe? Grace. Instead of giving us more rules to follow, in Jesus, God himself fulfills the law on our behalf. Jesus took on flesh. He entered into our situation. He was born of a woman, born under the law, and through his perfect life, death, and resurrection, he redeemed those who were under the law. But not only does he deal with the requirements of the law, he also deals with its curse. As Galatians 3:13 tells us, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. Jesus completely obeyed the covenant as a human being, earning the blessing of the covenant. But at the end of his life, he went to the cross and took the curse of the covenant that we deserve for our covenant breaking, so that when we believe in him, his blessing becomes ours. Now, the law doesn't go away. We even see it referenced in the promise of the new covenant here in verse 33. Instead, this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, the Lord's declaration. I will put my teaching within them and write it on their hearts. See, instead of being written on tablets of stone, the law now by the Spirit is written on our hearts. When we see Jesus, when we place our faith in him, there's a promise of a new heart that gives us new desires, ones that are now in line with the desires of God. And all this is a gift of grace. It doesn't come through new laws, new programs, new requirements. It comes simply by faith in Jesus' work for us. It's a solution of subtraction, the subtraction of our efforts, the subtraction of our record of debt, which stood against us with its legal demands. This, according to Colossians 2:14, has been canceled, nailed to the cross. So in the moments that follow, thank God for this new covenant, the covenant of grace, which is dependent on Jesus' faithfulness and not our own. And pray that by the Spirit, we would, in light of God's grace, be able to follow the law which the Spirit of God has written on our hearts. Thank you. Let's close now with this old Anglican prayer. Father, what we know not, teach us. What we have not, give us. What we are not, make us. For the sake of your Son, our Savior. Amen.